Welcome to the Prosperity Perspective by DML, a conversation about how successful business owners invest their hard-earned money to preserve their wealth and what they might have done differently in hindsight. Thanks for joining us, guys. Today we are joined by Xavier Lopez and excited for him to share a little bit about his journey and his perspective with us today. So, Xavier, you mind introducing yourself to the audience?
No, not at all. First, I'd like to thank you for having me on, Liam. So I might as well just get started. So my name is Xavier Lopez. I am a co-founder and director of operations of ANX Development, as well as I am principal of 610 Acquisitions, which ANX Development primarily focuses on residential development. So I'm a real estate developer by nature. Then we sort of started getting into venture capital and M&A. So that's when 610 Acquisitions actually sprouted up. And now primarily do venture capital. We do business buyouts and stuff like that.
Were you always in the real estate space? Is that, you know, what you knew you wanted to do since you were a little kid? Or how did you get to that point and kind of into entrepreneurship?
So funny enough, no, I never thought I would ever be in real estate. It wasn't my thing. I actually went to school to become an attorney. I ended up dropping out once I realized I'm making money. That's literally what it is. So after that, I just decided to never look back. Fun fact, I did want to be an astronaut when I was a little kid, but that's, you know, that dream is definitely gone.
It has come and sailed, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So, question we like to ask all our guests, Xavier, you know, once you got to that point of profitability, didn't have to worry about roof over the head, food on the table, what was your strategic framework in terms of where you chose to invest? Did you pour it all back into the business? Did you put it in new projects? Did you go buy your own house, own car? Like, what kind of guided your decision making?
So, actually, the money was split. Half of it went back into the business, the other half went into what I guess ended up causing such an explosive expansion for us. So I decided, hey, what is something that someone will always need for the rest of their life? And I figured, I came to the conclusion it has to be something in a service-based industry. So half of the money that the development company had brought in once we were profitable went exactly into buying, I believe it was two HVAC companies. So they maintain contracts with developers, and they also had certain service monthly retaining contracts with, I guess, apartment buildings, some hospitals and stuff like that. So it just makes sense. You're always going to need someone to fix your AC. And now I believe we have about 26 different companies that either provide software as a service or our service-based business that pretty much funds our real estate acquisitions or realistically whatever other project we want to work on.
So how do you go about identifying different, so you're talking about a HVAC, it sounds like commercial HVAC is kind of where you started. How do you identify what company, right, to go and invest, and how do you build those connections to go pick a company and to move forward?
So at the start, it was very much of a, I'll learn as I go. And I just hopped on Biz Buy Sell, and just out of the blue, I said, oh, okay, that one looks good. And went through it that route. At this point now, I would definitely recommend you to do a little bit more research, especially in an industry you are definitely not familiar in. But it's been, now the process is a little bit more streamlined. We do deal with a lot of business brokers. We do have underwriters that also underwrite company financials and stuff like that. So I like to say that real estate and M&As are structured almost the same way, because you do have to still underwrite a deal to make sure it makes financial sense. And it's the same thing when you're buying out a business, is you still have to make sure it makes financial sense before you actually buy it. If not, you just bought something that's going to give you a big, big headache and also going to cost you a lot of money.
Who Did you leave ownership in place? Did you replace ownership? What was kind of the thought process?
At first, we did decide to leave ownership in place because, to reiterate, we don't know. At the time, we didn't know what we were doing. So it doesn't realistically make sense for me to say, hey, the guy who's been running the show for the last 15 years, go kick rocks. I'll figure it out. And hopefully I don't mess anything up. At this point, we like to establish an operator when we decide to buy something, just because it's another thing on the plate that realistically I just don't have time to deal with. So,
yeah, I mean, how do you go about managing, you said 26 companies?
Yeah, we're at 26 now.
How do you manage all of that and make sure that, I'm assuming they're in different industries, and that was probably somewhat intentional to bring diversification, but, you know, now to your point with the expertise, right? Like, how do you have bandwidth to do all of that plus the real estate?
So my primary focus has always been real estate. It's always stayed in real estate. We have a team of about 6 operators that oversee a lot of the day-to-day stuff. Every other business that we have on the portfolio is actually software-based. So it's a lot of hands-off, like completely hands-off. All we need is to actually have an engineer on staff to make sure there's no errors with the software. But other than that, we have systems in place for if you ever need a customer service. We actually own a call center for that. So it's worked out, and it runs smoothly, pretty much. So for the software side, there's really nobody that needs to oversee anything. And then we have our engineers go through and make sure all the systems are running. If there's any sort of financial issues, billing issues, or anything like that, that's already connected to our call center that we own. And they handle the day-to-day on that, any customer complaints and so on and so forth.
What was your best find in terms of company that you went and purchased that's working the best for you today? And was that the same one that you were most excited about at the buy?
The call center was the best buy. I'll be hands down 100% honest on that. The call center was the best to buy because it provides support for everything else, as well as we do. Because of that call center, we also provide services to tech companies. So even though some of them are doing mass layoffs, I think we've only lost about 3 or 4 contracts with tech company partners. So essentially, I have, for example's sake, I have about 200 or so people that are actively working on our portfolio companies, but are all being paid by the tech companies. So that was the biggest, I guess, saving grace. It decreased our payroll immensely. And yeah, that was the best buy.
So the call center was initially to support customer service for your businesses, but you were able to open a new business stream that essentially made the call center self-sufficient and covers all the costs essentially for the portfolio companies on the service side.
Somewhat. So the original reason we bought a call center is because I'm a huge proponent of the infinite monkey theory. So I'll explain the theory a little bit. I'm not sure if you're familiar. But it goes, if you give a monkey a typewriter and an infinite amount of time, they will eventually write the words of Shakespeare. Obviously, we can't fathom time. It doesn't matter, right? So I like to flip it and say, if you have an infinite amount of monkeys, one of them will get it right the very first time. So that's what led me to buy the call center. And the initial plan behind that was actually to do a lot of land acquisition for us. Because I'll be honest, I can't be on the phone doing some sort of relationship outreach or anything like that with any sort of broker. I can't call, you know, 500 people in a single day, but my call center can. So that's where that idea pretty much stemmed off of. Then I started providing services to tech companies, primarily in like fintech. So anything that was already relating to real estate, we started servicing them, and then we just started sprawling out everywhere else.
The listeners are probably going, that's a lot of companies to buy and a call center. That's probably a big purchase.
Where did the cash flow and what does your cap stack look like for this expansion, right? Was it all, you know, self-funded along the way? Were there investors brought in to create opportunity, right? I assume there's leverage in play with a lot of these. Kind of, how do you think about that and what that looks like for your growth?
So as far as the call center was actually 100% seller financed. So there was no need for us to ever take out any sort of debt or anything like that. Everything else as a developer, I mean, you get pretty decent paydays as a developer. So everything else has been actually self-funded.
What's the average acquisition cost of some of these companies? Are we talking a couple hundred thousand? Are we talking millions? Kind of, can you frame up for the audience kind of what that looks like?
Yeah, no, I'm not like Scrooge McDuck here with infinite amount of money. So software companies, we like to go between 100 to 500,000. And then anything bigger than that, then is when we really start thinking, okay, what are we going to do? Can we structure some sort of deal to where it's beneficial, or do we bring on debt, or do we bring on an investor, or whatever the line? But we realistically like to stick between that 100 to $500,000 price.
And it sounds like the owners have been pretty willing to stay on. Are they maintaining some sort of equity, or are they just salaried? Like, how have those negotiations / conversations worked?
So currently there's actually only one owner in place, and that's actually for the call center. He gets actually a salary. The reason he ended up selling is he was just wanted to do other things. He wanted to have more time for himself. The reason he stayed on was because the call center went from, I want to say, averaging $100,000 a month to doing almost, I think we're sitting at 1.4 a month. In billables. So it's just, I guess he wanted to see this project all the way up until its fruition of what he wanted to do. And what, to be honest, I don't know. He does an excellent job. I talk with him every single day. He's a cool guy. He just wanted something, you know, different.
Nice. For the listeners who are like, okay, you've got real estate, you've got development, you kind of, you've got all these companies. If you were to give them like, hey, start here, think about this, right? Obviously, you said biz buy sell, right, as a resource. Where would you say that they should start? What makes sense?
Whatever makes sense for them. For me, it made sense for me to start in real estate because that's what my partner knew. I know how to find money. I'm very good at figuring out financial structures. I'm very good at underwriting, and I'm very good at hopefully staying within budget. So that's why my partner decided, hey, let me call Xavier. Let's do this together. But it would be whatever makes sense for you, right? So if you're in real estate, all right, figure out a way to leverage your relationships in real estate to make a bigger payday. If you're in software, a lot of people don't realize that in the software industry, my profit on it's about 85-90%. So that's why I focus so heavily on buying software companies. So just figure out a product that you can launch or assist in and get some sort of equity percentage. So I guess to answer the question is whatever you think you can bring to the table for somebody, go right ahead and pitch them. You'll never know what could actually happen from it.
What are some of the key questions that you ask when you're evaluating a new business, right? So it sounds like obviously your involvement, sounds like things people need, right? Service base. What are some of those criteria once you get into, you know, your zone and you're evaluating companies that you're looking at?
The biggest reason is, why are you selling? Because people can tell you, oh, I just want to retire. But realistically, once you look at the financials, you haven't made profit in the last 6 months and you're, you know. So that's one of the biggest things. The next thing is, what are your reoccurring contracts? Because if we're going to take on an HVAC company, right, but all they do is new construction, that new construction is eventually going to die out. So what other contracts do you have in place to, you know, keep this place running? Because that's a really big thing. Can we go out and farm more contracts? Absolutely. But if we were to lose all the contracts for new construction, what happens to the business then? How long can it be sustainable?
Depends how much work you want to put into it, right?
No, absolutely.
Okay. What's the most exciting thing that you're working on today that gets you jazzed and excited when you get out of bed?
To be completely honest, the purchase of my first home. That's what it is.
So you have not yet purchased your own primary residence, and that's what you're working on?
Correct. Yeah. I have a place in Dallas. I also live in Miami as well, but it's just purchasing my own place that I can finally call, you know, home. That's really been it.
Are you going to make it an actual home, or is there going to be some investment criteria that you overlay on it?
No, it's going to be an actual home.
Nice. So you're not looking for, you know, a subdividing a parcel or building a dadu on it. It's just a place for Xavier to rest.
Yeah, I thought about it. I actually thought about keeping the model home at one of our developments as my own, but I realized I wasn't going to like it. And then, yeah. So.
Yeah, lots of people like to house hack, right? So it's interesting to hear that it's like, no, I'm good. I'm just going to find one that I like, and I'm going to do what I'm good at elsewhere.
Yeah.
What's one piece of advice you'd have for an entrepreneur who's got cash coming in and trying to figure out what to do with it?
First things first, it would be invest in your business. Next thing is make sure you have that tax cushion. Because tax man's always coming. No matter how many expenses you think you may have, there's a likelihood you probably end up paying. Other than that, it would be using the money to add more value to yourself, whether that's going on a vacation or, you know, buying that nice watch that you've always wanted or buying that new car. It sort of signifies like, hey, I'm doing good. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and it's finally paying off.
How do you know when it's time to stop investing in the company and invest somewhere else?
When it reaches a point that you no longer have to be there.
So that's the freedom state for you. Someone else can manage it, becomes a cash flowing asset. Then you step away, you start investing elsewhere.
Right. Because every company is different, right? If you run e-commerce, you set up a decent system in place and, you know, I don't know, maybe within a year's time, you can step away so long as your system is completely, you know, I guess, idiot-proof, right? For me, it's completely different being a developer. I can't always, can I step away? Absolutely. We have an amazing team, but it just doesn't feel right for me too.
That makes sense. For listeners who want to connect back with you, Xavier, what's the best way for them to be able to get in touch?
You can always find me on LinkedIn. I try to answer everybody on there. That's how we started actually getting into the much larger projects. Funny story, I ended up getting a large deal under contract. I had no idea what I was doing. So I actually hopped on LinkedIn, and this gentleman out of New York, who's now since passed, actually helped us throughout the whole process. And since then, that was about 4.5 years ago. And since then, I've always hopped on LinkedIn. If anybody ever needed my help, I try to do the best I can, or, you know, any sort of guidance, or lead them to somebody I know that may be able to help them.
It's awesome. It's cool to hear how you're giving back and, you know, paying it forward from the experience that you had and enriching others' lives. So that's really neat. Really appreciate you being on the show today, Xavier, and sharing your thoughts. And, you know, look forward to the audience connecting with you and being enriched as a result.
No, absolutely. Again, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
And thanks, Xavier.
Thank you for joining us today on The Prosperity Perspective. If you'd like to subscribe to our podcast, please head over to theprosperityperspective.com, where you can hear from other successful business owners on their approach to investments. On our website, you'll be able to learn more about how DML Capital currently helps other business owners, like yourself, diversify their investments and grow their wealth. Take our short quiz to see if you're ready to take the next steps toward your financial success.